I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
And joining us on the line this morning is a journalist and crime reporter and also author. It is Julia Dahl joins us to talk about her new book called Conviction. Good morning, Julia. Thanks for sharing time with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just take us back before we get to your book about how did you actually get the crime beat or want to, you know, have cover crime and all that criminal investigatives type of stuff?
It was a long, winding road. I mean, I've always been interested in crime just from a viewer and reader standpoint. I was, like, obsessed with Law and Order and all that stuff. But I actually started my career in women's magazines. And, like, long story short, I had a friend at 17 Magazine who called me up one day and was like, do you want to go down to Alabama and write a story about a young girl who was murdered by her mother? And I was like, yeah, that sounds really interesting. So I just started doing that. And I just loved talking to police and, you know, going to court and reading transcripts, and I just sort of fell in love with it. So I decided to make that full time, and I ended up working at the New York Post, which is, you know, lots of crime all the time. And from there, you know, went on to do features, and now I'm at CBS News writing about crime.
On that story, going down south initially, did you have to do a lot of digging, or were people helpful?
Yeah, that's a really good question. No, people were not that helpful. I mean, it was an awful story where a woman had actually killed her daughter. And, you know, and it was the kind of thing where I was knocking on neighbors' doors and trying to get some, you know, insight into the family. And I had never done anything like that before. And it took me a lot of time to, like, get up the courage to just knock on a stranger's door. But, you know, it like with anything else with journalism, like, some people, you couldn't believe it. They invite you into your home, and they tell you these intimate things, and you can't believe they're telling you them. And then some people just slam the door in your face and run you off, you know. So it was like a mix of that.
Well, let's talk about your book you have out, the new novel, Conviction. And it says it uses extensive research to shine the light on wrongful convictions fueled by race, religion, and closed communities. So there's a lot of people, sometimes they keep things within themselves. Talk about what happens in this story.
Yeah, so this is the third in a series. I write a series about a young tabloid reporter in New York City, and she starts the series by investigating murder in the Hasidic Jewish community. I was really interested in them and how they're, you know, very insular and try to handle everything, even crime, within the fold. So I started thinking about, well, what if there was a murder? Would people talk to police? Would the crime get solved? So this book is about a murder of a family that happens in 1992, which is the year after the Crown Heights riots, which was this sort of, you know, explosive time in New York City, where the African-American community and the Jewish community clashed. And, you know, I started reading a lot about men from that time period being exonerated now. You know, there was so much crime then, and we didn't know what we know now about DNA and things like that and false confessions. And I thought, I have to explore this in fiction, because even though I've read a lot about it journalistically, I hadn't sort of read about it in that literary way. So I really wanted to dive into that. And so this is about a man who calls this tabloid reporter and says, I didn't do it. I've been in prison for 20 years. Help me. And she gets involved.
Why did you decide to go down that tabloid route?
Well, I worked at the New York Post as a reporter for 3 years, and it was so fascinating. It was, and, you know, so much of what I did every day never made it into the paper. So I've always written fiction sort of on the side, and I thought, I have to write about this world of tabloids, partly because there were just, you know, every day you're bumping into dozens of stories, but also because, you know, as a journalist, I'm sort of constantly thinking about, critically, about journalism and what's the right way to practice journalism. And I wanted to sort of explore that with fiction. And then just a tabloid reporter, you know, in fiction, you can do so much with her. So you can take her places. She can, you know, her job is basically to be nosy and inappropriate. And that is a great, you know, set of characteristics for a protagonist.
When you were working where you have sort of in that tabloid area, do you sometimes feel like you knew the news before everybody else just because the rules were a little looser? And how do you feel that now when everybody seems to have all these, you know, with social media, it sort of has come to the fore for everybody?
That's a really, really interesting point. So I left the Post in 2010. So before I don't even know if I joined Twitter at that point. Yeah, I mean, it's like this, and now everything is this fast paced. Back when I was there, you know, a few years ago, it was very much about that deadline, that like 4 o'clock deadline to make the paper. But now, you know, every minute is a deadline because you got to be the first one to get the headline or get the quote. And it's just a crazy, crazy world. I don't necessarily think it's actually good for telling, you know, the truth to the population, but it's certainly an interesting place to work and an interesting place. If you're interested in people, I mean, it's like a gold mine.
Talk about the main character in your books here, in the series, a little bit about her, what she's like, and how you kind of fleshed out her character.
Yeah, so her name is Rebecca Roberts. Her story is that she was born she grew up in Florida, and she is the, basically her mother was a Hasidic Jew who ran away from the fold and got pregnant by a Christian and then ran off. So she's been abandoned by her mother, and all she knows about her mother is that her mother was a Hasidic Jew who abandoned her. So she really kind of hates the Hasidic community because she feels like they took her mother from her. And then she comes to New York right after college to get a job as a reporter and kind of finds herself bumping up against this Hasidic community because in New York City, unlike most cities, you know, there's a huge population of Hasidic Jews. There's like 250,000 of them, and they live in this melting pot of a city, but they have this really insular sort of world, and she falls into that. And she's just a really, I think of her as like my alter ego a little bit, where she's sort of the person I want to be, but also I'm glad I'm not, because she's brave and she's smart and she's curious, but she's also kind of angry and kind of has a chip on her shoulder. She's also younger than I am. She's in her 20s, and she's, you know, really passionate about journalism and wants to make her mark, and is kind of fearless, which is something I admire but have never quite been.
What's that like writing a character that's like in their 20s? Do you use from experience, and how do you try to keep them so that they don't mature too fast or become wise beyond their years?
Right, that's a really good question. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to write about that time period because so many of the I started working at the Post when I was 30, so I was already a little bit mature and I'd had some journalism experience, and so many of the people I was working with were right out of college. They were young, they had no experience, they had no real guidance, and I thought, you know, this is a really kind of ethically and morally challenging job. What would it be like to do that when you're just 21 or two? So I try to like think about what my life was like when I was just out of college and trying to make my way. You know, and I read a lot of sort of like YA novels to kind of remember that time. But I don't know. I don't know that I'm more mature, and I think I'm more comfortable with who I am. But I don't know if we change that much from, you know, that kind of still being really hungry and passionate about our work. And in a way, being inside Rebecca's head has helped keep me really interested in the news and reminding myself this is really important work that journalists do. So I get to do that
right
when I'm writing.
Have you ever confused yourself with Rebecca thinking, oh, that happened to her, that wasn't me, I just wrote about it?
Yeah, or else I'll think like I'm writing a scene and I think, wait, did this happen to me or did this happen to her? Yes, occasionally. But she, you know, she's different enough from me that that usually that doesn't happen. She's from Florida, I'm from California. You know, my mother very definitely did not abandon me. She's very much a part of my life. So I try to keep them separate.
We're talking with Julia Dahl, the CBS crime reporter, also has a new novel called Conviction, featuring race, religion. If you throw politics, you really got a firestorm going on there. How do you keep from, like, not offending people or bringing these issues out? But, you know, in this time, sometimes you bring anything with race or religion, and there's always a lot of people ready to go after you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I feel like I have to just risk that because, you know, sure, if you write anything good or you talk about anything interesting, you're going to get people angry, but that's okay. You know, I feel like, I mean, it's a little hokey, but I do think that the writer's job and the journalist's job is to sort of expose and put a mirror up to our society. And what's happening now is we're really talking about and really like living through some strife in terms of race and religion. And, you know, I feel like why write a book if it's just going to be some fluff that doesn't matter? I want to, you know, just for me, if I'm going to spend, you know, a year or two writing a book, I want to be interested in it. I want to be exploring subjects that I think are important. And I, as a reader, I don't want to read a polemic or, you know, but I do want to read books that feel relevant and that force me to, you know, ask questions or look at things in a different way. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do. But I definitely have had people say, you know, oh, I'm, you know, how could you write about this community, or I didn't like how you did that. And I have to just sort of, you know, step back and be like, that's cool. You know, you think what you think. I feel confident with my work and, you know, move forward. You have to have a thick skin a little.
And just wondering, too, how has social media impacted what you do on a daily basis?
Oh, my gosh. I think, honestly, the thing that has impacted, two things. One is that I do feel like I'm a little better informed, although maybe it's a little bit, the information I'm getting is a little shallow because a lot of it's just headlines. But for me, it's a distraction. Like, if I'm trying to write or if I'm at CBS doing my work, it can be really hard to focus because I'm constantly like, well, what's on Twitter? What's on Facebook? And I really have to, like, shut that, especially when I'm writing fiction, shut that off. But when I'm at work, when I'm doing, you know, my work for CBS, it's so helpful. You know, I follow local reporters and local news agencies and local cops. And, you know, you're getting that information, like, straight from the horse's mouth immediately. And it's a little much, and I think our brains are probably changing just dealing with it. But it's a great way, too, as an author and as a journalist, to reach out to people, to contact people you would never be able to contact before.
How are you able to edit all of that? It used to be you'd have to send out a photo to somebody else, you know, getting... You know, if you're not going to show on TV, you needed something video. Now there's people with cameras. You get police cameras. There's so much sometimes evidence or things. How do you know what to sort through and really what's relevant to make it a story?
Oh, my God. I mean, I think that's like an ongoing challenge for everybody in news. I work on the website. So fortunately, I am, you know, never been a TV news person and had the challenge of video so much. But yeah, I mean, you know, we'll get somebody saying, you know, well, we've got this video of this police encounter, and, you know, you have to start asking those questions. Is this real? Has this been edited? Where did this come from? And a lot of people don't ask those questions, and then stuff gets out there, and it really sort of poisons, you know, the conversation. And it's so important. I mean, you know this, like, this is what you do for a living. Like it's so important to that as journalists, we are giving accurate information, and when we don't, it really messes things up. But because there's so much out there, so much of that, like, you know, fake news, not fake news like, oh, I just don't like this news, but actual, I'm just writing stuff that is totally untrue, and sometimes it's really hard to sort through it. I think it is absolutely a challenge. I think there are a couple of really good, like, nonprofits that are actually working to help educate young people about, you know, how to spot what's opinion, what's fake, what's real, good sourcing. I think that, like, that, you know, first year journalism school stuff about sourcing and making sure, you know, you get everybody's name and you check everything is, like, more important now.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times when I was thinking about some of this, you know, sometimes you get an image and then there's a whole story that you have to build back around it to describe it. It's almost like when you write a book and you kind of sort of tell the ending before you kind of work your way through it. Sometimes we see things and we all come to a conclusion, and then through the investigation, everything has to be kind of dissected. And sometimes what we actually saw to begin with wasn't really the actual event in a sense. There's other things that go on with it.
Yeah, and then but even if you find out, oh, that didn't actually happen, it sort of sticks in everybody's mind, and everybody thinks it did. It can be, like, really dangerous.
Yeah, once it gets out there, and especially since you're talking about working on websites, it's even worse than if it was just showed up in the, you know, front page of the paper. That paper gets thrown away, eventually recycled. On the website now, it's there forever.
Exactly. The only positive, at least sort of, I don't know, maybe it's not positive, but is that at least we can go back in and change it. You know, if, like, we get something wrong and, you know, and then, you know, of course, the ethical thing to do is to say this, you know, this article was corrected to show this. But so that can help a little. But you're right. Like, if it's on the web, it never dies.
Right. When did you find that time to write this book, by the way, Conviction?
Oh, my God. I started working part time. I was working full time at CBS for a while. And then when I got the book deals, I was able to go part time, which is great. Now, though, I have a small child, and that's even more challenging. I mean, it's wonderful, but it's also like I have another book due. There's another Rebecca Roberts book coming out. It'll probably be about 2 years, and I'm writing it now. And that's finding time to write a book with a small child and a part-time job is hard. But I'm doing the best I can, and I love it. It's like, you know, being able to be a novelist is an absolute dream come true. So you know, I'm not complaining.
There must be points in the book, though, that you can read back later and go, well, while I was writing that chapter, there was this, someone yes. had was sick, and this had happened.
Yes, well, A Conviction was written almost entirely while I was pregnant, and I literally found out I was pregnant after writing maybe 10 pages. So the whole book was written, you know, with me kind of knowing my life was about to change, but not knowing how, and I was anxious, you know, it was kind of it was an exciting time, but also sort of a scary time. And then, so I finished about 3/4 of the book, and then I gave birth early. So I didn't work on the book for about 3 months. And when I finally got back to it, it was actually really great because I was able to sort of step away from it and, you know, figure out like the things that I needed to figure out. And once I got back to it, I was really like jonesing to get on it because I hadn't written, you know, in months. And that was when my child was really small, so I could just like put him in a stroller and kind of rock him. And now he's like running around all over the place, and it is impossible to write, you know, if I'm in any way responsible for him. So I'm working on various, you know, childcare situations and trying to make it all happen.
Well, we're glad you're able to join us a bit today, and everything worked well. No interruptions during our interview.
I know.
Today,
so I'm astonished. He gets a gold star today.
What's his name, by the way?
His name is Mick. Mick like Mick Jagger, but he's an adorable little monster. He's pretty great.
Sounds great. Well, Conviction is your new novel out. People can check out Julia Dahl, DAHL, and we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks
so much. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.